So, based on what I already shared with you guys off camera, the title of the message God gave me, and He's been speaking to me about it, and I've been walking in it for a minute now, and really like mastering it. And if you remember when God gave me the word Urba, the mantra, I have no unforgiveness, no resentment, no bitterness, no animosity toward anyone, and I begin confessing that and speaking that, I saw the change, begin happening within myself, where I stopped looking at how I wish people would treat me and just became more excited about how God treats me. Did you hear what I just said? I really began to focus on the realm of which God's love and mercy covers us when we don't even deserve it. So while we're running around trying to get people to understand us, God's like, you need to understand me. And when you begin to understand God, and we talked about this last week, it's like, I didn't even want to do this week's message after last week's message. I feel like last week's message was so thick. It was like, okay, I can't come with nothing after this. And he said, yeah, there's more. There's so much more, son. And so the title of this week's message is forgiveness. And I want to talk about it from the perspective that God gave me to understand the forgiveness. And then all of this stuff happens. And I go, so there's two approaches that I want to lay out here before we get started. Most of the time, we're seeking for people to come to us and ask us to forgive them, especially when we know we've been wrong. Well, they never apologize. They never. And then there's perspective where God is like, well, what about the forgiveness I give and I gave to you even before you ever accepted Christ, before you ever repented, before you ever acknowledged that you were wrong? I still forgave you. And God began to deal with me about a forgiveness that is not about you receiving, but about you sowing to receive, you giving it, and then expecting God in return to do it, not man. And I said, okay, I've read the forgiveness scriptures, but now that you've given me this revelation, I have to now approach it different. So if you go with me, let's start with the book of Matthew, chapter 6. And I'm reading from the King James, what everyone calls the Lord's Prayer. But I want you to walk with me in this season, in this moment, through this. And my prayer in the name of Jesus before God is that you walk away with something that is burned indelibly in your spirit and forever changed by for the rest of your life. So, verse 9, Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 9, it starts like this. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Now, what is this? This is Jesus telling the disciples how to pray. Jesus, they said, they came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And they saw the things Jesus did, and they saw the miracles he did, and they saw his walk with God, and they saw the connection he had. And they were like, teach us how to pray like you pray. I don't think they were saying, teach us how to pray this kind of prayer that you're going to pray right now. I think they were more like, how do we pray to get the results you get? You understand what I'm saying? They saw the miracles. They saw his move. They saw his peace. They saw the power. They saw the presence of God on them. And they came to him in amazement. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray. But listen to me, not teach us to pray for people. Teach us to pray to get the goodies or the things that you get, to see the moves that we see you do, to have the power we see you have. I'm not saying that's a wrong prayer. I'm just saying what they were asking for, I don't think they were expecting the answer they were going to get. You know, they thought Jesus was going to say, Father God, the mountains, the kingdoms are yours and mine and yours, and blah, 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 and make this miracle happen. But that's not what he, that's not what, if that's what they expected, that's not what they got. And after this, therefore, pray ye. He was saying to him, okay, if you ask me how to pray, Here's how you pray. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed or holy is your name, to be holy or to be honored. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, I always stop on this point. I've said it a million times. I'll never stop saying it. Everybody says on earth as it is in heaven. That's how you hear people pray that. Am I correct? On earth as it is in heaven. The Bible does not say on earth as it is in heaven. It says in earth. And people think, well, it's the same thing. Since when is on and in synonyms? It's not the same thing. Something on, something in is something is different. Well, no, I think it's the same thing. Okay, let's see. Ready? The Greek word is EP, EPI or EP, however you want to pronounce it. And it is a position of, on or by or over or against, to over, on or at, across or against. So it's not talking about just something sitting on you. It's talking about something that surrounds you, that's either for you or against you. It's not a position of something being on. So he's talking about the surrounding circumference of and all that dwells within it. So when he's talking about your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, he's in earth, he's talking about in the atmosphere of the earth, the dwelling of the earth, all that circumferences it, and in you, in earth. In you, in earth. Got it? On earth is just you, a position. In earth is a whole place of authority. It's a realm of position and power. Am I losing anybody? So when he says in earth, he's talking about not just sitting on the surface of it, but literally the whole sphere in, out, around, in, against, and through. This is my kingdom should come and be here. Does that make sense? So it's in you, and because it's in you, then in the earth. But I'm going to explain a little more, because what's being explained here is an authority position. It's not just your will be done in earth. I hope I can do your will, God. No, it's about an authority position that's given to you in the realm of earth, which is inside of you first. Was that clear enough? Does anybody need me to explain that any better than that? If you got it, give me a thumbs up. Okay, so it's in the realm, in you, in the realm of the earth. This is very important. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, just like it's done in heaven. Got it? That's a powerful statement in itself. For God's will to be done in the earth realm, like it is done in the heavenly realms, then that's not you behaving. That's you operating in a realm, in the realm of earth, through your authority, the way you have the realm, the power to act in the realm of heaven. I'll get more into that later, but that's, I just want that to sit on you. That's a power statement, not just a figurative statement. Give us this day our daily bread. Provide for us today. We're not going to worry about tomorrow. Remember that? Take no thought for tomorrow, what you easily drink. He said, just today, sufficient to the day as the evil therein. So give us this day. Let us be concerned about you take care of me today, and let's not get all caught up in tomorrow and the days to come. Is that helping? Pay attention to this. This is important. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he said, pray like this. So he's answering their question, but he's coming at it from the perspective of where your heart and mind needs to be to receive the moves that you see me do. Should I say that again? He's saying, you asked me to teach you how to do what I'm doing and flow like I flow. And what I'm giving you is the mental, emotional, and spiritual place you need to be to see the moves that I do the way I do them. So don't just read this like, our Father who art in heaven, I will come, I will be done, or heaven is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. No, no, this is an instruction, listen to me, straight from the Lord. They asked him a question. He's answering the question, and he's answering it in painful detail. So the fact that it's just become a little children's poem that you teach your kids and hang on the wall and all that is sad, because this is Jesus giving you step-by-step instruction on how to see the manifestations that he sees. Got it now? So if the will is done in earth, the way it's done in heaven, then he's saying you have the ability, you have the power, you have the right to operate in earth the way we operate in heaven. No, I don't think that's what he meant. Well, Jesus didn't know what he was talking about. Was he lying? Was he confused? Was he not sure what he was saying? If he's telling you to pray that, are you listening to me? Then it means it's possible. If he's telling you to pray that his will be done in the earth realm as it is in the heavenly realm, then he's telling you from the perspective of that it can be done. That's a big one for me to grab too, but I got it. And I got it by the tail, and I'm not letting it go. You told me I can pray that your will be done in my life and in the realm that I'm in alone, for starters, in the earth realm, the way it's done in heaven. Then, okay, what do I need to do then to make that a reality? Who agrees with me on that? If you're telling me I can have in this realm what's happening in that realm, then I need to know steps I need to take to see that to be a reality. Stay with me. So then the next thing he says, you give us this day our daily bread. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about next month. Don't worry about next year. You give me today our daily bread. Society has trained us not to think like that. What are you going to do next year? What you going to do this? What you laying up for this? You know, save for a rainy day. You know, what you doing about your future? And everything is from school to everything we do is taught us to worry about the future, to worry about how we going to get by in the future. And God is telling us, take no thought for tomorrow, what you eat and what you drink or what you're going to wear. How many of us will be honest and say, I have not mastered that one right there. Take no thought for tomorrow. What I'm going to eat, I think about tomorrow, what I'm going to eat, and not just tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, the next 10 years. So he's telling me, just be concerned about today. What does that demand? That demands me to trust God in a way from day to day, like the manna from heaven and the bread from heaven, to trust him that each and every individual day that my need will be met, because I'm going to trust him to work on earth as he does in heaven. And I know nobody's in heaven running around trying to figure out when their paycheck is going to come and how they're going to pay their bills and what they're going to do and where they're going to go. This is important stuff. It's important stuff. Give us today our daily bread. And ready? And forgive us our debts or our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us or debt against us. So it says in the King James, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, I'm gonna read this. Debts in the Greek is that which is owed, that which is justly or legally due, a debt, offense, or a sin. So what he's saying here is, forgive me my sins, the debts I owe you. I owe you for sinning. Remember, Jesus hadn't resurrected yet. So There was penalties and rules and stuff and sacrifices they had to do for every sin every year. So listen close, listen close, listen close, listen close. Forgive me, my debt means the price of death that I owe you for my shortcomings, as I forgive those who have transgressed against me. Forgive me my transgressions, God, against you, and I owe you my life, and I owe you eternal punishment for that. That's what I deserve for that. Forgive me that as I forgive those who have transgressed against me. Now, I don't know if I could pronounce this word. Afiyami. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. That's the Hebrew word. It says, watch this. To send away. This is the definition of the word forgive. To send it away, to bid, going away, or to depart. It also says this as a definition: as a husband divorcing his wife, to send forth, to yield up, to expire, to let go, to let alone, to let be, to disregard, to leave, not to discuss anymore, to remit, to neglect. Forgive is big. It's people say, I forgive, but I won't forget. No, part of forgiveness is the need to forget, to let go. In other words, but how am I going to forget the memory? No, you don't remember it anymore in a painful place. You don't remember it anymore in a negative place. You don't remember it anymore in a hurtful place. Yeah, you may still have a memory of it, but that memory no longer torments you or bothers you because you remitted it. You released it. You forgot it. You let it go. This is powerful. I'm going to tell you why. Because when I had to go to my stepfather on his deathbed, and God told me I needed to forgive him, and I was like, no, he needs to burn in hell. And God showed me the image of Satan fighting for his soul. God said, no, you have to go to him. And I asked God to give me love for him. And I remember I went to him, and on his deathbed, I shared Christ with him, and he got saved. Now, and he lived for months after that and ministered the word to everybody who would stand still. Now, here's my point. I remember the torment, and I mean, it was torment. He tormented me. I mean, beat, chain me up and handcuff me and beat me for hours. I remember like I was like Toby from Roots, like the welts and stuff on me. And I remember it, and I can think of about it, but it conjures up no pain. It conjures up no bad memory. It conjures up no hatred. When I think of him, I think of him as the man who got saved and called me up regularly and said to me, you need to be doing this. You need to be recording this on tape. You need to be getting this. This stuff you're saying is powerful. You need to get it out to the world. And him encouraging me to go into the world and preach the gospel when I wasn't even trying to hear it. I hadn't been saved long enough for him to be telling me, oh, the world needs to hear what you guys say. Ain't nobody trying to hear what I got to say. Listen, you need to get out there and you need to share this. And so my memory of even those moments are not attached to anything painful. Oh, you better pay attention to what I'm saying to you right now. It's no longer attached. You know, this doesn't trigger me. It's no trauma. Even when I hear about other children being abused, my heart goes out to the kids, but it don't make me go back to, oh my God, I remember when I went through that. No. The whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. And so I am not a slave any longer to the torment, which was my past, which was what he did to me. So when he's saying forgive, he's saying divorce it, release it, remit it, let it go. This is spiritual realm stuff I'm talking about. This is not mental and emotional stuff. You can't do this in your flesh. This is stuff that you have to say to God, Philippians 2:13, not in my own strength. But it's you who works through me both to will and to do your good pleasure. am on my own. I cannot do this. I cannot remit this. I cannot let this go. I cannot forgive this. But you can take away the sting of it. You can take away the memory of it. You can take away the hurt of it. You can make me have compassion on the people that hurt me. So if you guys have listened to me talk recently, I said, I've gone to a place with the people who have hurt me and the people who have said things and people who have done things, even family, where I feel sad for them now. Like, what kind of thing must you be going through that you feel such a need to hurt me? It's like all of a sudden I stopped being concerned about how it was making me feel and started talking more about, God, what must they be going through? Remit. Forgive us our trespasses as you forgive those. Forgive us our trespasses, we forgive those who trespassed against us. And what I need you to understand is the word they're using here, as, a lot. But the word that would make more sense to our language and our vernacular is like. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth like it is in heaven. And forgive us our trespasses like we forgive those who trespass against us. And forgive us our shortcomings like we forgive them. Give us the ability to forgive them like you forgive us. Give us ability to love them like you love us, not as, like, because that makes sense. Give us the ability to be strong like you are strong. Give us the ability to flow in the wisdom like you flow in the wisdom. Give us the ability to have understanding like you understand. You get it now? It's a like word. And forgive your trespass. Forgive us our trespasses, and we forgive them like you forgive us. It's powerful. So just let's take a minute here before we go further and say, Father, give us the ability right now to forgive like you forgive, to see on earth like it is in heaven, to function on earth like we will in heaven, to not worry about tomorrow and how we're going to eat, because we know you provide just like you've always done for those in past and now and in this present. Let us see ourselves like you see us. Amen. Let's keep moving. Was that a blessing? I think I heard somebody say yes. I think I did. Go with me to Mark chapter 11, and we're going to round it out. This is powerful. This is the part of time where they were walking through the garden, and Jesus saw the fig tree and had no fruit on it. He cursed the tree. Coming back the next day, the tree had dried up and they were blown away. Now, people say, why did he curse the tree? Well, Jesus said it had leaves. I mean, the word said it had leaves on it. So therefore, it looked like it's time it should be fruit. But he looked on it and he saw no fruit and he cursed the tree and said, no man eat of you ever again. Dad, what did Jesus have against that tree? I'm going to tell you what he had against that tree. It looked churchy. It had leaves on it. It looked like, and it was at the place that it should have been grown enough to be producing fruit, but it had none. It just had an image of fruit bearing, but it lacked fruit bearing. And Jesus don't like phonies. So when he looked at the tree and he saw it look like it should have fruit on it, and he went on it to get the fruit from it that it should have and realized it just was leafy and looked like it, but it lacked fruit, he cursed it because it didn't produce anything of value. So when I relate that to church folk, you've been in church your whole life, you talk a good game, you dress up nice, You know how to say, "Oh, honor to God and glory to the pastor and his lovely wife," and you know how to say all this kind of stuff. But when people come to you and they need substance and they need fruit and they need something from you, you don't have nothing. And he said, "I curse you. I don't want anybody else coming to you trying to eat from you ever again. I don't want people to be deceived by your false illusion of being a grown tree when you lack fruit." If you know somebody that's like that, say amen. You know, they look so right. And you go to them, they can't give you anything worth value. They have no fruit. They have nothing to share. They have nothing that bears resemblance to God. Everything is intellectual. Everything is logical. Everything's emotional. And you're like, "Well, where's the God in all of this here? No man eat fruit of you again." So at this point, this happens. And so now they're walking. And this disciples are blown away by this. The tree that you curse is withered. And Jesus' response, and I'm going to start at 20. Let me see. I think at 22. Yes, 22. Let's go to 22. And Jesus replies to them, "Have faith in God." We're going back to the Lord's Prayer here now, but now I'm going to show you how this completes the Lord's Prayer. Almost verbatim. I know you never saw this before because God gave it to me and I'll fly like that. I know you never saw this before. So I'm about to break it down. This fulfills and completes the Lord's Prayer. Watch this. And Jesus says to them replying, when they said, "The tree you spoke to, Lord, Master, is withered away." He said, "Have faith in God constantly. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown in the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that the things he says shall come to take place or come to pass, it will be done for him." Stop. On earth, like it is in heaven. If you're in heaven and you speak to a mountain, it does it. It don't hesitate. It don't stagger. In earth, like it is in heaven. So he's saying stuff to them that's just like, woo. You should speak to this mountain and say, "Cast into the sea," and not doubt in your heart. And what you say should come to pass. Now, let me just put this in here. Let me interject this. It's very, 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 very important. And I put this in the book Harvest Time. I remember when I first got saved and I read this scripture. I don't know if I think I told you this before. I went to the park and I took some rocks and I put them up against the gate. And I was standing there speaking to the rocks. I was trying to make the rocks move. I was like, "You got to move." I'm like, "I read this now. Move, rocks." I'm trying to Harry Potter or whatever the rocks. Like, I'm trying to get the rocks to move. Because I took it literally. I took it for what it is. And it is literal. But the how is different than what we expect. I guarantee you that rock moved, even if after I left the park, somebody came and just picked it up and just threw it across the park because they just felt like throwing it. That I bet you I went back the next day or that evening, that rock would have been gone. You follow what I'm saying? It's the way he moves it. He is not doing magic and hocus pocus. He's doing things according to the flow of his spirit. I'm sure he honored the fact that I trusted him enough to even try that. As a matter of fact, my whole life is the living example of me stepping out and daring to do things and believing things that I didn't know could come to pass. And then going back later going, "Oh my God, not only did you do that, but you did 50 times more than what I asked." So I know that it works. It just, again, it's not hocus pocus. Why am I saying this to you? Sons and daughters, listen to me close. Watch your mouth, watch your words, watch the things you speak, because those things are manifesting. And they may not be manifesting as soon as you say them, and they may not be manifesting next week. I'm going to tell the story because Pastor Fontaine shares it all the time. He said, he spoke to me time before last I was there, and he said, "I had to have a surgery." I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "This thing grew on his backside, and I don't know what it was." He probably told me, but he was saying, but he had to have an operation. He had to have it removed. It was pain, and his behind. And it, like, it was causing him all this discomfort, and he had to have this done. And he said, he went to God about it, and God said to him, I've told you over the years to stop saying you're a pain in my butt. You're a pain in my butt to people all the time. He said, that was my favorite saying. And I could say that all the time. He said, there's times God will poke me and say, watch that. So he said, so when he was getting the surgery, God said to him, you've been speaking it for years. So people making jokes, oh, I'm dead. Please stop saying that stuff. It's killing me. Just stop that because it may not happen right then, but you're speaking it. So I'm like, I'm really watching my words. Don't tell your kids they're a pain in the ass. Don't call you a bad, you are so bad. You are so fresh. You don't say this stuff. Don't say it. You're speaking it. I remember my sister nicknamed her child Nuka. And I'm like, where'd you get that name from? And I found out it was the term to say like the Tasmanian devil, like a little terror. Like, why would you call your child that? They act out of this. I saw this. I'll tell one more example, then I'll get off it. Remember when they used to have the show, The Dog Whisperer? Any of y'all remember that? There was this guy, and he had, well, you kids wouldn't remember this before your time. He had a show, and people would bring their dogs to them that couldn't be trained or just didn't act right. And he would, I mean, dogs that would bite people and everything. And he had this ability, I mean, vicious dogs, pit bulls, maybe Bowler. He'd go, shh, 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 and calm these dogs right down and reach over and pet them. And he had this ability that people would leave the dogs with him, and he would train them. What was this one dog? He was so bad. Little tiny dog, too. Always getting in fights, always in, and the owner's like, we just can't take him anymore. So they gave him the dog, and he got on camera. He said, they named the dog El Diablo. For those of you who don't know the meaning, that's the devil. They named the dog El Diablo, and he's saying this, not coming from a Christian perspective, just looking at things like he said, why would they name the dog that? He said, I changed his name to Sammy Davis Jr. He changed the dog's name to Sammy Davis Jr. He said, because I don't want those words spoken over the dog. And he kept the dog and it became his own personal dog. And he became this beautiful little charming little dog. I didn't know if he knew how to tap dance, but my point is. It's important the words that you speak. I've always said to my kids, you're genius. You're a genius. You're a genius. You're a genius. And Lindsay took that and she started speaking of her niece and nephew. Like, no, this is what you do. You speak life. You don't speak death. Don't speak life over your circumstances. Don't look at your bank account and say, my bank account is the worst thing. And da, 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 da. Listen, you can do that if you want. It's so hard. I don't know what to do. It's so hard. Okay. Let me not get in your business. But you've known me for decades, some of you, and you never heard me talk crap like that. And Nelly will tell you, I have a thing of saying, even if I'm hurt or I'm frustrated or whatever I'm going through, my word is always, I feel frustrated. I feel hurt. I feel confused. I will never say, I am. I will never use the Lord's name in vain like that. So let's go back to this. Let's bring it home. 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 Speak to the mountain, tell it to cast itself in the sea, and it will be done. And does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. The King James says, he will have whatsoever he says. He will have whatsoever he says. For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask in prayer, as it is in heaven, trust and be confident that it is granted to you, that you already have it, and you will receive or get it. So I'm going to read it again without filling in the blanks. For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, say whatever. What's left out of whatever? Okay, so for this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe and trust and confidence that you have it and you will get it. On earth, as it is and has been. Now, a lot of church people say, that name it, claim it, Bible, that's prosperity teaching. Well, amen then. So be it. Jesus said this. Watch this. And when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them, let it drop, leave it. Isn't that what I just gave you as forgiveness from the other one? Let it go in order that your Father in heaven may forgive you your own feelings and shortcomings and let them drop. On earth, in earth, as it is in heaven, as you ask for it, you receive it, you expect it to flow the same like heaven, like earth, then God, if I come to you with somebody else's trespasses and I want you to bless me and not acknowledge mine, I can't come with someone else's. You're not hearing me right now. Let me try this one more time. I can't come to you with unforgiveness into an unforgiving room. I can't come to you and ask you for grace when I'm not bringing grace. I can't come to you with unforgiveness and ask you to bless me because there's something in between you and me that's stopping you from blessing me, and that is unforgiveness, because you have to forgive me to bless me. And if I walk in the room with unforgiveness, I bring a barrier into the room that goes against your flow. So if I come before God to pray, or you come before God to pray, and he pokes you and says, what about this person? And you say, never mind, and leave the room. Understand, you left without it. Because God will point it out. I'm not telling you to walk around and try to figure out everybody you don't forgive. But as he brings them up, you have to say what God has taught me to say in these past, 6-8 months? Erba, I have no unforgiveness, no resentment, no bitterness, no animosity toward anyone. I, listen close, release them. Let them go. Remit. Cancel. Divorce what they've even done to me. I release them. I don't hold it against them. I release it. Why? One, because that's how we act in earth like we act in heaven. Two is because I can't come before God speaking to mountains, telling them to remove, and the veil of unforgiveness rests on me. It's important to our walk, I don't care who they are and what they did, that we realize whenever we stand before God, he's a righteous God, and our sins stink, even the ones we don't know we commit. So if he's letting us into his presence as our Father and forgiving us and overlooking all of our shortcomings to answer that prayer for us, then we cannot bring somebody else's with us. And when you stand praying, it says, verse 25, if you have aught or animosity toward anybody, forgive them, release it, let it go in heaven so that your Father in heaven can forgive you. What are we talking about, moving mountains and speaking to mountains? So what he just said is unforgiveness is what's keeping your mountain from moving. Unforgiveness could be what's keeping you from getting the answers to the prayers you want. Unforgiveness can be holding you back from seeing God heal that person that needs to be healed. Unforgiveness is a sneaky little gremlin that will hang on to you and you won't think it's a big deal, but it gets in between you and Father when you come into the holies of holies. When you come before his presence, you cannot bring that because it's a barrier between you and him and the prayers being answered. Not that he refuses to, but he's saying, you can't ask me to forgive you when you carry unforgiveness. May the word that you heard bring God's blessings to you. Amen and amen.